Good morning, everyone. Welcome to another News in Focus program or podcast. A bad economy, or is the church losing America's heart? Bad economy, or is the church losing America's heart? Blair is the author of this, and he is a Christian Post contributor, published January 29, 2013 at 5:45 p.m. Americans are giving more to charity, but the church is increasingly getting less of the goodwill from their pockets. But how much less? At least $1 billion worth of it, says Atlas of Giving, and that's only what's predicted for this year alone. Despite positive growth in overall charitable donations from Americans in the last 3 years, religious organizations can expect more than $1 billion less in giving this year than they collected in 2012, according to the report released this month by Atlas of Giving. Recognized as the most precise measure of charitable giving in the United States and accounting for the entire giving economy, the Atlas of Giving notes that in its 2012 report that while religion remains the largest giving sector in America, its share of the pie will decline from 36% to 35% this year, despite overall increases in charitable giving. Americans gave $345.93 billion in charitable donations in 2011. In 2012, overall charitable donations increased by 6.7% to just over $369 billion. So that's a third of a trillion, to put things in perspective. This year, charitable giving, largely fueled by individuals, is expected to increase 1.6% to $375.13 billion, according to the report. Giving to religious organizations, however, showed little growth in 2012, and it is the only one of eight giving sectors tracked in the report that forecasts a decline in 2013. The other giving sectors, education, human disaster services, health and arts, international, nature, environment, social, society benefit, are all expected to post increases. Donations to the nature, environment, and human disaster services sectors are projected to see the greatest increase in charitable giving in 2013, continuing a trend from 2012. Now, did you get that? Donations to nature and environment, human disaster services sectors are projected to see the greatest increase. Tom Hampson, director of constituent engagement at Church World Service, said although his organization projected meeting their fundraising goal of 2013, they are currently weathering a decline in church giving. We are seeing a decline in congregation giving for us, he said in a telephone interview with the Christian Post on Monday. While the recession seems receding, the experience of lots of nonprofits is still a daunting environment. Well, what are we to make of all this? Let's talk about this from a couple perspectives. First of all, let's talk about it from a postmodern perspective, If I, in fact, attend a church that is postmodern in its theology, then outside of maintaining the structure of my current religious club that I attend, what then would be the point in giving? I mean, if part of giving to a church includes the sending of missionaries who have a gospel truth that must be proclaimed to heathens who, if they do not repent and believe the truth, are going to die and go to hell, but I, in my local church, have abandoned that truth. Instead, I've embraced a postmodern truth that suggests all peoples have their own wheel or spoke to get to heaven, and that God is love and no one goes to hell. Then why in the world would I want to give money to send missionaries overseas, unless, of course, perhaps they were bringing clean drinking water? So I think that that certainly plays a part or the equation here. The motivation to give to the proclamation of the gospel, because it is the only truth that saves souls. Well, because that theological perspective is no longer believed by many in the church, the motivation to send and proclaim the truth has certainly decreased. And outside of revival, there's no indication that that will change. In fact, the Apostle Paul predicts a falling away. And if that falling away occurs, it's ridiculous to think that the church will grow stronger and more committed in the gospel proclamation when Paul predicts a falling away that must occur before the son of perdition is revealed, the man of sin. And of course, I'm making particular reference to his letters in Thessalonians. Now, so I think that's part of the factor. Now, the second reason is the degree to which church membership no longer matters. Church membership no longer matters. There's an increasing number of people that are part of a internet connectivity or a television connectivity, and they find no need to be a active participant member of a local New Testament church. I frequently encounter here in our city of Fayetteville, which is a melting pot of sorts because of Fort Bragg, the Special Forces community coming from all over the world, people that have no interest in joining a church. They want to slip in, receive religious services, and slip back out. They, in some cases, don't even want their name known. And these people have a tendency to be less committed to the church. Therefore, it should not be surprising that they would not give to that church, that they would be more motivated to give to disaster relief or fixing global warming or some other type of save the whale kind of an organization. So, number one, the advent of postmodern theology infiltrating the church. And number two, the lack of local church membership. This is my church. I need to give to this church. I need to support this church. If it doesn't grow, it's because of me. If the buildings are falling apart, it's because I don't give to it. The advent of being able to receive religious services through the internet, podcast, and a plethora of access to websites like Desiring God and on and on and on, that provide a litany of preaching and religious food, so to speak, that costs me nothing or virtually nothing. So those are my thoughts. All right, number three, the departure of the young people. The departure of the young people. It seems on a regular basis here, there's an article posted on the News and Focus section. There's a message done about young people leaving the church. Well, and then these young people don't come back to the church for 10 years or 15 years, and in many cases don't ever come back to the church. So the declining size of the church because the church is not able to close the back door and somehow communicate value, which really moves us to number four. So number three is the departure of the young people. And then number four is the lack of value that the church member perceives they are receiving from the team that ministers to them. The lack of value that the church perceives it's receiving from the team. Now, I believe that God's people are especially motivated to give to God's work when the vision is being properly cast and the people of God can see that the giving makes, that their giving makes a difference, that it is tangible, it impacts, that it that they receive for their giving a perceived value. So I was talking to a family last Sunday, and they were telling me about their church in Florida, the church that they attended. It wasn't their church by way of membership. It was a church they attended there in Tampa, Florida. And they were describing to me these things called canned sermons. Now, I asked them, how do you know it's a canned sermon? And it was almost, I can't believe that you're having to ask that question. Canned sermons are obvious. As though the parishioner can immediately recognize a canned sermon. This is a sermon that the preacher is downloading and then regurgitating. So it becomes very obvious. It becomes obvious very quickly to the parishioner that he or she is not receiving that which the preacher has prayed over, that which the preacher has spent hours in his study putting together for his sheep, that he has taken the shortcut. And the shortcut is go find something on the internet and then preach it as though it's your sermon. Now, and then the second thing that they talked to me about, and I would love for someone out there to email if you have experienced anything like this as well. This was almost shocking to me. They described the set of the stage being turned into characters. Now I don't mean Bible characters. I don't mean Paul and Elijah and Enoch. Now, these were Winnie the Pooh and Eeyore, and that the sermon series revolved around these Disney-like characters. Now it's really difficult for me to fathom as a man who sat in the congregation for 20 years as a lay person, serving as a deacon and a Sunday school teacher and a faithful giver to the local church. It's hard for me to take that serious. It's really hard for me to take serious a preacher who preaches in a jersey, who just doesn't seem to take his own calling seriously. You say now you're about ready to just jump all over me about legalism and such, and oh, I know, I can hear you thinking even now. A preacher doesn't have to be in a white shirt. I've got that piece. I understand that. Yes, you can proclaim the gospel in a Pittsburgh Steelers jersey. Yes, I understand that. But what I'm speaking towards is the degree to which you should take me serious as the spiritual leader of your family. Now, let me just draw a small parallel for just a moment and see what you think of this. Imagine for the very first time that you have to find a lawyer. You're in a mess, and you know you're in a mess, and you need a competent counselor to represent you in a court of law, to guide you through the process of being found guilty or not guilty, with potential penalties and judgment for potential things that you did wrong, and you believe yourself in need of grace and mercy and wise counsel. And so you go and begin interviewing lawyers that will represent you, and you are willing to pay those lawyers money. Now, I want you to just think in terms of the initial perception you would get of a lawyer who is wearing flip-flops, shorts, and a Dallas Cowboys jersey, or a lawyer who has on a properly fitted navy blue Brooks Brothers worsted wool suit with a crisp white starched shirt, a light blue coordinating tie, and black shoes, black socks, black belt, all properly shined, and a neat haircut. Now, you say, well, you're just painting too stark of contrast. Sure, I know, I've got that piece. I just want to try to give you something to think about with regard to what I believe to be the fourth reason why God's people, or the people of America in particular, are not giving to religious organizations like they used to. I think part of that is that we've caved on the calling of the pastor, who is a man who labors for his people. And he labors in word, and he labors in prayer, and he labors in shepherding them. And in turn, they don't have any problems sacrificing a portion of their income because of the perceived value they receive from the pastor and the organization, the religious organization, I'm going to say it like that, the church that he leads. Well, those are my thoughts. I'd like to hear from you, especially if you've been to a Disney-like church with Winnie the Pooh as the lead character on a given Sunday. Send me an email at pastor, A-T, and then BBC, that stands for Berean Baptist Church, and then the actual @ symbol, gmail.com. Have a great day.